to live righteously. Hey, it's time for a special episode of the Cultural Hall. Joining us from a previous episode of the Cultural Hall a couple of different times, you are by far the most personed besides myself and other panelists here on the Cultural Hall. Wow. It's Kendall Wilcox, and across the table from me, Bianca Morrison Dillard. It's a lot of hyphen, and we'll talk about that in a second. So for everyone who now is going, Kendall Wilcox, I remember that. Oh, great. Here's another gay episode of the Cultural Hall. Let's just address this right now. This is important, so listen. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
Amen.
Do you get a little pushback?
We get a little pushback.
I've had others say, like, geez, is this, enough of the gay Mormon thing?
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. It is a huge... Yeah. Not only social issue as far as the United States goes, but it's a huge issue for the church right now.
And it's going to get bigger.
Yeah.
Before it gets
smaller.
Down. Yeah. Yeah.
And we've had lots of people's episode, lots of episodes where people have said, you know what, I couldn't do the church thing anymore because I'm gay and Mormon. And the other people who have said, you know what, I'm gay and I'm Mormon and I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And we've had people who have said, you know what, I'm gay and Mormon and I know that I need to be in church. And so... Mm-hmm. I'm celibate, and that's the thing that I'm doing. So we've covered all sorts of things. It's a fascinating thing, and it affects a lot of people.
I think so.
So that's what the movie Far Between is all about. But before we get that,
yes,
Bianca Morrison Dillard. that's a hyphenated name. Morrison being
it's just my last name, Morrison.
Morrison Dillard.
It's not hyphenated, but.
So you just blend it together.
Yeah, it's just a space.
Yeah, so it's two different
names.
That's
what names. It says on my social security card.
Two different words.
Yeah, it's two different words.
One name.
There's just a lot of stigma.
Right. I don't think this is important.
These aren't important.
I just want to give you a hard time.
Good.
Succeeded.
Before you got married, you are married.
I'm married.
That's where the Morrison comes from.
Yes.
She's sealed. Congratulations.
Thank
High five on that.
Boise.
Okay. Didn't know they, no, I'm just kidding. I knew they had a really gorgeous temple.
Yeah, and they just redid it, so it's all white. I could do this thing.
When you were going to get married to your assuming Mormon husband, did you have the idea that it would be Bianca Morrison?
Yeah, it was something that we talked a lot to. We just feel like, we're both, we feel like it's important to honor both families.
Okay.
And we thought Dillard Morrison sounded stupid. So we went with Morrison Dillard.
So did he take your last name then too?
Yeah. So we both go by Morrison Dillard.
Okay. So I've never heard of that before. I've always heard of the...
We're trailblazers.
The one stubborn Mormon who wants to keep her last name.
Yeah. No, it's been interesting. We had some, we go to my husband's home ward, and when somebody stood up and said, you're gonna mess up the genealogy. And we're like, we're the keepers of the genealogy now,
So we know.
So we can put it down. It'll be all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, still, it makes her sad, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, no. So here's the thing,
That's how you do.
It's such an interesting thing, but my wife didn't take my last name at all. And the reason why is because it's her son before we got married, and his last name is obviously her last. It's that connection between the thing.
Yeah,
99% of me doesn't care, but 1% of me goes, what about this guy?
Right,
right. And I realize and recognize that it's just tradition.
Mm. Yeah.
So that 1% of me is like, you don't like this?
Right.
Well, you don't want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And and she always throws back, well, why don't you take my last name?
Right.
Then I would be her father. That's her father. Her father and me have
the
same
name. Do you guys have the
firm same
first name?
Oh, okay. Interesting.
All right.
And so I'm like, there already is one of those.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, like first name, maiden name, married name,
she had done that.
Uh-huh.
But then she took it down and just kept her original name. So we digressed.
Oh.
As far as that goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because that's the new wrinkle, too, is like a lot of women on Facebook are doing what Bianca did, with combining.
Right. Uh-huh.
But But actually, it's the flipped.
But they'll usually do maiden name, so it would be Bianca Dillard Morrison.
But apparently that sounds awful. So
it sounds so dumb.
Yeah, what a dumb combination of names. Not at all.
And
what
it doesn't
came
get
to,
confusing, you know, because my husband took it too. So we're united.
How's things in Mormon feminism, real quick, too? Since we'll just push everyone out of here. We'll talk about gays and Mormon feminism.
All we need is intellectuals, and then.
Yeah. I'm turning this episode off.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a rough time, I guess.
Things okay for you? Struggling?
Yeah, it's been rough, but you know, I've been in fundraising haze, so you know, I don't have to think about it. It's fine.
Okay.
How's that?
Agree to not answer. Perfect. Yeah. Far Between is a movie that's going to be coming out next year.
Yeah, it'll be done this year, which is 2014. Finished.
But no one's going to see it in 2014.
A few people will that paid have time to pay a certain or give a certain pledge on our Kickstarter account, who will be able to be given access to a special screening. It's not the premiere. Mm-hmm. It's a special screening.
What Kendall's talking about is, you know, on our Kickstarter page, the lovely Cultural Hall.
I've never heard of them. Are they nice?
Oh, the Cultural Hall's pretty cool.
Is that gay podcast?
Yeah, right? Apparently they're they talk a lot about gays and feminists.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for $100, you can come to a special premiere.
Not a premiere.
A special screening. It's not a premiere, guys.
It can't be a premiere.
It can't be a premiere.
Make you guys
we'll get in trouble.
For festivals. Yes.
So it's an extra special screening. And there's also an after party if you pay a little bit more. So check that out. Cultural Hall has generously. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we have links to it, but you can go to Kickstarter if you just search Far Between Movie.
Yeah, you can just find Far Between. Way. Yep.
Movie.com or just farbetween.com?
Oh, yeah, you can do farbetweenmovie.com, or if you go to the page itself and in their search window, just enter Far Between and it'll pull up our Kickstarter campaign.
You know what we probably should have done is told people what the film is about before we started asking people for money.
Yeah,
about,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a journey.
We were going to plug the Cultural Hall. So.
We scratch each other's backs. Yeah, it's a film about what it means to be LGBT and Mormon today.
LGBT is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
Thank you. And why that matters really to the American experience today. So it's not just for a Mormon audience. It's not just for a gay or LGBT audience. It's for a general audience to understand that the LGBT Mormon experience is unique and interesting and complex and horrible and awesome and absurd and all of that. But it actually has impacted and will continue to impact much of the American scene for the next several years.
How come?
I mean, we can go all the way back to before 2008, but, you know, Prop 8, we have 2008, where the church is heavily involved in the California Proposition 8, you know, to prohibit same-sex marriage, and all sorts of examples. You know, we go through the Romney presidential campaign, you know, bid, and that raises all Mormonism to a higher level of scrutiny in the media, and with that comes higher scrutiny of, well, how do the Mormons treat the gays? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's all sorts of dialogue around that, which caused the church actually to create its own website, mormonsandgays.org, to specifically address that, which is actually the only website of its kind produced by the church on this sort of niche subject area.
Because mm-hmm. There's not mormonsandblacks.com.
There is, actually.
Oh, is there?
There is. That's a lie. It's... Yeah, there's a Mormons and Blacks one. I'm not entirely sure what the...
There's a page, but
yeah,
not
there's
a site.
Page.
Not
okay.
a complete
right.
dedicated... Okay,
yeah,
site.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah.
There's so many examples. And now, of course, the biggest one that's present on everybody's mind is the same-sex marriage lawsuit here in the state of Utah. That's about to go to the Supreme Court and could be the deciding case for the entire country, you know, on this issue.
It's interesting, just to kind of divert from that, is there was a survey that was just recently done, just in the last couple of days here in the state of Utah, where I think it's 64% of the state of Utah disagrees with same-sex marriage, but only 17% think that the Supreme Court will uphold same-sex marriage not being able to continue. It's one of those things where people go, well, we don't like it,
but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the trend. I mean, that's been the trend for the last about year, within the conservative base across the country. In fact, the leaders of the conservative movements that were supremely anti-same-sex marriage have now moved on. They literally are like, guys, we've already lost the battle. It's going to play itself out in the courts, and, you know, let's let it happen. But let's not spend our time or money or energy there. Let's move the conversation over to now a reactionary sort of response, which is, okay, great, the gays get to get married, but don't you try to force us to take a photograph of your marriage or bake a cake for you or come stay in our bed and breakfast for your honeymoon, your so-called honeymoon. So that's where the new energy and strife is heading. It's already started, but it's going to get really ugly in the next like 2 years. And for better or worse, I'm not criticizing, but the LDS Church, there's lots of documentation of this, has invested a few million in, you know, pushing along those lines for religious liberties. I mean, the church has not been shy about, you know, they've built their own websites around that. Mm-hmm. They are major coalition partners around the country and the world with other faith groups to say, hey, we need legislation to protect our religious liberties because we're afraid we're going to be forced to do this or that we don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's fair?
Yes and no. My personal assessment is that most of it is fear-mongering, is what I you know.
They're going to make us do this, when in reality they can't make you do.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
specifically, a lot of people will say, if gay marriage becomes legal, then they'll force them to be able to get married in the temple.
Exactly. Right. That is the number one easy fear, the church has never actually said.
Right.
So I'll give them credit for that. But culturally, it's been allowed to foment as this ultimate fear that it's going to happen. But the wiser heads, certain lawyers even, or former Supreme Court justices who are now leaders of the church, for example, have got to know better on a legal, legally, that is impossible. That is why we have the First Amendment.
Right.
It is absolute, and it will not happen. So I find it a little irresponsible that culturally that's been allowed to foment. But...
And even if we take an example of other countries, I mean, where same-sex marriage is legal, we're pretty much the only country, I don't want to misspeak, but I think we're the only country left that still, you know, you get married in the temple at the same time that you have your...
Civil marriage.
Yeah. There are a few places. Yeah.
But most places you can get married civilly outside of the temple and in the same day
you
get married.
You
have
to.
Yeah. Because the law of the land doesn't recognize the temple marriage as civil marriage.
Correct.
So there's a pretty easy workaround that's already established in church channels. I don't think that we have a ton to worry about.
Yeah. And that's already coming. I mean, you can't quote me because I don't work for the church, but it's been said in some leadership meetings that the church is on its way towards separating the civil and the temple sealing, the civil marriage and the temple sealing practice. So no more will temple sealers be signing civil marriage certificates.
And that again just protects them from anything
from
like that.
Nothing.
Yeah, from nothing, but I mean, from anything that someone could think is something. They go, all right, done. It's not a civil marriage.
Sure, there could be one or two people out there that say, oh, I'm going to sue the church to make them seal me, and it will get thrown out immediately in any court because no, you can't force a religion to do something like that. And there's no precedence for it on other issues. Women are not suing to get the priesthood in courts.
Oh, but if you would, you could, right, Bianca? Right. I'm just teasing. She looks at me.
That silence speaks. And same thing with blacks in the priesthood. I mean, you know, you didn't hear lawsuits making its way to the Supreme Court forcing the church to ordain people of African American or African descent. So, you know, the church is protected on this. So, but anyways, we digress.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, this is Dan the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. I want to personally thank you for supporting our local Utah business for 21 years by offering an absolutely insane deal. A brand new desktop computer for just $799. That's right, $799. That gets you a computer hand-built right here in Utah with a lifetime parts and labor warranty. You simply can't find anything like this backed by an amazing lifetime warranty anywhere. It's downright impossible. It's a $2,000 desktop PC for $799 with a blazing fast processor. It's perfect for home, business, or back to school. It's lifetime parts and labor warranty, so everything is covered forever. Viruses, hard drives, RAM, everything. How much is it? $799. This computer is simply the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's only $799. Come check us out at any one of our locations or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
So the movie, as I understand it, kind of follows your story.
Yes.
Figuring out how Mormon and being gay goes together.
Correct.
Is that
right? Yes. Well done.
Thank you.
For better or worse, yeah. So I'm the protagonist, right? The main character of the film.
Leave it to Kendall to make a film about himself.
No, it actually tell.
It's
like,
been hard to get him to do that. Yeah. So.
Put money on the Kickstarter for my film about me.
Thank you for undoing months and years of therapy right there.
I was able to do it that quick.
Yeah,
huh?
No, it's on the surface. It's been excruciating because literally I thought about making this film for like a decade before while I was working for the church where, knowing that we've got to do better at the way we communicate around this, at least in the media, so dysfunctional the way we talk about it. And so I thought, well, duh, you're a filmmaker, you work for the church. I mean, you're perfectly positioned to do this, do it. And every time I would get up to a line where I thought, it would be sort of almost unethical or disingenuous of me if I don't include my own story, at least expose my bias, whatever that is, in the making of it. And then when I would get to that point of my sort of thought train, I would go, and no, that's a non-negotiable. I am not telling anyone. Nope. So I guess I'm going to let it lie. And then a year or two goes by and I get like clinically depressed again. And I'm mad about the way we're talking about it again. It's dysfunctional again. And I'm like, try to do it, and then it was the same process over and over and over until 2010, when I was so dysfunctional and unhealthy mentally and emotionally, trying to be the gay Mormon in the closet. And then I'm also witnessing my community of the LGBT community and the Mormon community at an all new low of dysfunction, communicating around all the issues we agree or disagree on, that I just lost it, and was suicidal. And sort of, I'm oversimplifying. Watch the movie to get the whole story.
Or but, you can listen. I mean, we talk quite a bit about it when we had you in the Cultural Hall before.
Exactly.
You can search. There's this thing called Google.
Exactly.
It's Kendall Wilcox, the Cultural Hall. You can hear some of that story there.
But that's when the idea came back. I'm like, all right, I've got to do it. We've got to make this film. I was working with Bianca at the time. We were colleagues at BYU Broadcasting.
It's Bianca Morrison Dillard.
Correct.
Bianca's fine.
But I have license for just Bianca. So we basically launched into and started making the film with the really simple idea of let's tell the whole story of what it means to be LGBT and Mormon, meaning let's stop telling half the story or, partial parts of the story based on which political or religious agenda you subscribe to. That was the biggest, most simplified way of explaining what was wrong with the way we were talking about it is we would only hear half the story all the time.
Well,
and that...
Yeah,
that,
and we see so often that people either are held up as these role models that like, look, these people are living their life this way and so can you. They're perfect and they're happy and here they are with their partner or their not partner and their kids or their internally sealed spouse. Yeah. Whatever it is, we see all these people held up as role models. And we don't see the messy bits, the struggle and the heartache. And we also, or on the other hand, people say, like, look at those people, they're crazy, or look at those other people, they're stupid, or look at these other people, they're sinful. And we only see that half of it. We only see they left the church or they married an opposite sex partner or like whatever it is that you don't agree with, mm-hmm. we hold up that part of their story and mm-hmm. we don't see, you know,
the rest of the story.
Exactly. The triumphs and the heartaches and the wrestling that come with making those difficult life decisions and living with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's what we set out to do. And to do that, the setup is really simple. Actually, it's me. I go on a literal journey around the country, even to other countries, just asking other LGBT Mormons, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. And the answers, of course, are as diverse as what, you know, what Bianca was just talking about. Like some of them say, I don't do it. I can't do it. I didn't do it, or I am doing it. And this is how it is. And I, from each interaction that I have with all these people, I walk away and I sort of reflect and I say, well, okay, I learned this or this from this person, or I heard the same, I'm starting to hear the same patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the values that I hope will come out of this film, because we have all of these voices, diverse voices in one place at one time, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to go searching on one politically driven agenda website over here for some stories and then another over there. They're all in one place side by side. And from that, these patterns begin to emerge about what it's like to live in this situation of being LGBT and Mormon. And those patterns will speak to us if we'll just stop and listen and start to hear, oh, this is a pattern. Some of those patterns we're probably pretty familiar with, you know, but some of the patterns have not been exposed thus far because we haven't ever told the story with everybody side by side. So that's the exciting new part that Far Between will bring.
Do you think that there's a bias because it obviously covers your journey and you're able to edit and keep in things
oh, yeah.
and
Absolutely.
Take things out?
Yeah, I mean, that's a basic premise of documentary filmmaking that I'm well aware of, having taught it for years and years at BYU, that there is no such thing as true objectivity mm-hmm. in the world. Everything is subjective. Everything.
So give people an idea. You know, there are... It's been interesting to me as we've talked to, you know, probably a lot of these people that will be featured mm-hmm. in the
sure,
film,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's even divisiveness amongst the LGBT community.
Oh, yeah.
With,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I think of a lot of people, and let's just throw out a name. I don't know if he's involved with the project. I think that he probably is, I would imagine. Ty Mansfield is
he
one.
He and his wife, Danielle.
Who is... same sex attracted, but is married.
Yeah.
Do we hate that term? You squinted.
Doesn't anymore. He does not
identify
associate
as...
with that term.
Okay.
He used to.
Okay.
And at one point he even called himself gay and then it was same sex attracted. And I'm not speaking ill of him behind his back. This is I'm faithfully, you know, representing what I understand his perspective to be, that he is in a place now psychosexually that he does not, he doesn't even feel same-sex attracted. He can empathize with what that's like, but mm-hmm. he is opposite-sex attracted now and fully attracted to his wife.
So there's a lot of people who feel pretty heated about that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
On both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And almost, like you say, kind of hold mm-hmm. that up as a C.
Right.
He is the poster child.
If you will...
Yeah. If Ty can do it, if the weeds can do it, you know, you and so can you.
That's Josh and Lolly Weed.
Yeah, Josh and Lolly Weed.
Mm-hmm. With that really, really popular blog of a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Josh Weed, which we've talked about here
in
the Culture Hall as well.
And he's in the movie, too. He and John and Lolly.
Lolly.
Yeah. Great interview.
So how I don't even know how to ask this. So it goes with your journey and you just like how is the setup? Is it you go from one extreme to another? Is it
sort
kind of weaves this way?
Well,
is it by map? You're like, we're in California. Who's gay in California?
There are moments like that, but it's, you can sort of picture it like a board game. No, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's where there are several sequences of the film where I basically explore. It's like I go to the land of the single celibate Mormons, mm-hmm. for example. That's the first place we start out. That's the first sequence of the film is I start out with, all right, I'm going to figure out how to do this better than I have been doing it so I'm not so suicidal. I'm going to go hang out with as many single celibate people as I can and see what is it like to be single and celibate. So, and that takes up 10, 15 minutes of the film. And by the end of that, our goal is, as I've journeyed through the land of the single celibate Mormons.
Welcome to the land of the single celibate.
Yeah. I learn again, some of these patterns start to emerge about like this story and that story and that story. Oh, okay, this is what it's basically like. This is the story of what it's like to be single and celibate. So that the audience vicariously through me and through watching this goes, okay, I feel like I understand better, more nuanced ways of what it's like to be single and celibate. And then me, genuinely, as the main character, but also just genuinely, I say, I got to be honest, I don't know if I want to do this forever. I've been doing it for my whole life, and that may be one of the reasons that I'm so suicidal. So mm-hmm. what else is there? And I say, I'm going to go explore, quote unquote, I'm doing air fingers, quote unquote, the gay lifestyle.
Okay.
Which is sort of the polar opposite of what I was
single
just
and
doing.
Celibate, yeah.
So I went to the Castro district of New York, like the gay Mecca of New York, even though it's now the meatpacking district. But anyways, we don't have to be too cool. And yeah, anyways.
We don't need to make the geographical distinction. That's fine.
Yes,
I understand.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you go to this extreme opposite.
Yeah, exactly. And then I go hang out in the Castro in San Francisco or West Hollywood down in LA, you know, mm-hmm. and hang out with people who are in all those ways that people would stereotypically say, like, oh, they're in the gay lifestyle. They chose the gay lifestyle so that I can understand what the heck is that? What is it really? What does that mean? And it varies from people who are all the way in. I hung out with a fascinating gay Mormon in New York who is, he might blush. No, he won't blush. He's totally proud of it. I blush when I talk about it. He's in a thruple, which is three people. So it's not a couple. It's three people.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a thruple. And it works and they're happy. And it's not only specifically unique to the gay lifestyle, quote unquote, but sure. It is a popular trend within, you know, that they all three of them bring unique things to the relationship and it works. So all the way, but they're not married and they never want to be married. And mm-hmm. that they eschew that. They say that's way too heterosexual. All the way
that marriage is so heterosexual.
Right. all the way to folks, for example, here in Utah that I've been hanging out with and interviewing that are gay and lesbian who got married actually here in Utah on December 20th. Or one couple actually down in Utah County who had to fight with the county clerk, and I documented all of that to be able to just get their legal marriage license when it was legal. Anyways, and now they're married, and now one of them right after that was diagnosed with cancer, and it's not looking good at all.
Oh,
and just the power of having their relationship solemnized, that they'd already been together for decades. They raised 7 kids together.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
And that's
so heterosexual,
right? Right, and that's the gay lifestyle, right? Quote unquote, for them. And anyway, so exploring all of that, and then from there, I leave the land of the gay lifestyle, and then I go off into. I literally had moments of going, wait a minute, that's gone. Now I've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to. I can't give up. I need to try, like, to really understand. Can I get married, like, to a woman opposite sex? After having tried myself, we never tied the knot, but really, really tried. And then I go and hang out with tons of couples who are in opposite sex marriages where one of the spouses is gay or lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them that are sort of self-described as really successful and happy. And then we were also able to track and hang out with a few couples through the process of saying, I don't know, this is so hard. We've been doing it so long and we're going to explode here in a bad way. And then all the way... We charted them through divorce, all the way in one couple situation to where we interviewed them before, way before the divorce, got divorced. She's now in a partnership with a woman. He has found a new wife who it just happens to be that she used to be married to a gay man. They went through the same process, got divorced. He's now married to his husband. She is now married to this straight man, and all three couples are happy, and they literally have a family photo together.
Oh my gosh.
And so we just explore. And out of that, you know, I could not have learned more about myself than I did in those situations. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. It shocked me how much, specifically like with Josh and Lolly Weed, where they had written a long blog. I read a lot about it. I watched a lot of things about them. And then I went in there with preconceived notions about who they are and how it works and why it doesn't work or why it wouldn't work for me. And I completely, it just totally rocked my world. And it made me actually feel so much more relaxed and confident in understanding myself about why I should not marry a woman. And I thought I knew, frankly, going in.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I sat with them And I actually judged them for like a good 45 minutes of the interview. And then something just clicked. And I, you know, repented quickly of my judging and realized, oh, and it taught me so much about sexuality, relationships, libido, what the heck that is and how it works and doesn't work and expectations and how to make a marriage work. And it was so powerful for me, but I couldn't have done it had I not sat there really vulnerable, because I was feeling like, I don't think I can make this work, but these guys are super popular and they're so happy. I want to be that happy. I should get married to a woman.
Yeah.
And totally shifted everything for me.
Does the film, and I don't want to know what it is, but I want to know if it does, does it come to a conclusion for you?
Comes to some conclusions. And yeah, in my own personal journey, I have come to finally a place of stability and self-awareness and strength about who I am on a fundamental spiritual, psychological, biological level, that I can be clear about how I can be gay and Mormon. So that initial question at the very beginning that led me into doing this whole thing of how the heck am I going to be gay and Mormon, because the way I'm doing it this far is making me genuinely suicidal, to I'm not suicidal anymore, and I know how to be good with myself and in this world and in relationship with God in a very sustainable, peaceful way. And which, yeah, I mean, we'll document that in the film and my process to come to that. And I'm not going to say any more because you got to watch
because you got to see the movie.
Yeah,
people can help out the project. We already mentioned the Kickstarter, where you can just search Far Between Kickstarter. Or go to Kickstarter.com and put in Far Between. But there's also a couple events that are going on Friday night in Provo.
That's correct.
Friday, August 22nd.
Let's talk about it just real quick.
Yeah. So it's a storytelling event. We have a number of really great storytellers.
Several previous guests of the Culture Hall, CJ and Kendrick being one of them.
Yep.
Yeah. We've got...
Troy Williams.
Yeah. Derek Kitchen with the Kitchen Case. Who we've got? We've got Kendall Wilcox.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. We've got...
Berta Marquez.
Yeah, Berta.
She's an activist for LGBT youth and homeless youth.
Oh, geez. That's
Utah.
Great.
Yeah.
And so everyone's just going to be there kind of telling stories.
Yeah, live. Just telling stories live.
It's very much in the spirit of Far Between, which is what our sort of ethic is about. Like, just tell your story. Just put it out there. Good, bad, ugly. Tell your story.
And it will be a little bit different than what you're seeing online. So if you're thinking, oh, well, I can just watch dozens of Far Between videos online, why do I need to come to a live event? Yeah. They're going to be picking apart some very like specific moments in people's lives. So the Far Between videos tend to be like, well, I first knew that I was gay when I was however old. And then I had to deal with it in this way and this way. Mm-hmm. There'll be very specific moments in people's lives that talk about, you know, them being gay or them not being gay. It'll be
and it's all on the theme of Far Between. So it's not necessarily all, if you're like, oh, I don't want to hear another gay Mormon story, that's fine, come anyways, because some of them they're not going to even talk about that. But it is on the theme of, because we all ultimately have tensions within our lives where we have to stretch ourselves across two different, you know, a paradox or two poles of like, well, I'm this way, but I'm also this way. Mm-hmm. So I feel this way about him, but I also feel this way about her or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be telling these stories of when we're stretched far between these two poles. So,
look at that. That's the way the title works in.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah.
Where is it at?
It is at Pioneer Book in Provo. It's on Center Street.
425 West Center Street.
And people can just go there to get tickets, or where can they?
They can, or there's a Facebook event. You can also find it on our website. You can...
the website is farbetweenmovie.com. And then Saturday night, big party.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's talk about it.
It's a big benefit party up in Salt Lake City in the Federal Heights neighborhood at...
It's going to be fancy schmancy.
It's at 429 Virginia Street. 429 Virginia Street at a very nice home that a supporter of the project has offered. And there's also...
An anonymous supporter of the project?
Their names are Maybe that's it fine. Is anonymous for now.
Keep it anonymous. I'm going to ask you as soon as we stop recording.
They are enthusiastic supporters. And there's going to be a lot of food and drink from local vendors. So you can come and experience local food that you love and the drink.
The Martinellis will be free flowing.
There will be mocktails.
Mocktails. Yeah.
A mojito.
Right?
Mojito.
And they're good. Trust me, the person making them is. And also, there's going to be some live storytelling there with notable folks like Senator James DeBacchus is going to tell
really?
A story.
Yeah, a little former Mormon? Or
correct.
Does he still identify as Mormon?
He doesn't really identify as Mormon, but I think his name's still on the
records.
Yeah. Erica Munson from Mormons Building Bridges is going to tell a story. Cody Partridge, who is a plaintiff in the lawsuit suing to be able to marry her. Who is now her wife, because she did get married. But
well, today does it count or no?
That's a good question. So a good lineup and a few musicians, local musicians like John Allred. He's pretty popular.
Cool.
And also Micah Anderson, who happens to also be the composer of the music for the Far Between movie.
Coincidental? I think not.
Yeah. So food,
does, is
drink.
That cost? People can just go?
Suggested donation, you can pay it online or at the door. Suggested donation is $25, which is a steal given the entertainment value and the food and drink. And just, you got to go check out the house, you guys.
I've heard Kendall Wilcox is going to be there.
Yeah, right. Kendall will be telling a story.
Yes.
Bianca Morrison will be there. Bianca Morrison Dillard will not be there. So that's...
And her husband, of course.
She hates that joke.
Right.
You can tell. She just goes, why do we keep talking about it? Why do we keep bringing it up? And then the movie, you said sometime in 2014 will be that special screening.
Yes. We're
finishing it up.
This
do we
fall.
Know a date?
We don't know the date, but it will be late fall. Okay. Very, very late, but fall 2014.
And if you make those donations on the Kickstarter, over $100, you get the invitation to that whole screening that's sponsored by the Cultural Hall. So,
correct.
Very cool. It's farbetweenmovie.com for all the information on any of this stuff. You can find it
correct.
There. Yeah. And thank you guys for
thank
coming
you.
Back.
We love the Cultural Hall. Everybody, keep listening to the Cultural Hall.
Yes, yeah. Please
even
do.
If it is gay.
Yeah.
Gay and feminism.
Gay. Yeah.
We do all sorts of stuff. This week, the episode this week is about being Baptist.
Wow.
And how that relates with Mormonism.
Cool.
Should be
that's
fascinating.
That's not gay at all.
No, there's not a single lick of gay in there.
Well,
nice we hope word. That this has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen to it this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen to it next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.